You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles,
Series 5, Episode 1.
Thanks for listening back to the Geekly Chronicles.
This show was recorded on the 30th of September, 2016.
This version of the show isn't quite the same as the one that went out live, as we've had to edit out all of the songs.
It's nothing personal. We're just big fans of making sure artists get paid for the great things they create.
If you want to listen back to the show in its full musical glory, wow, head over to our Mixcloud channel, where you'll find every episode of the Geekly Chronicles as it was meant to be heard.
Ooh.
That's mixcloud.com/GKLYCO.
Thanks again for listening.
Hello.
Hello!
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 Oh. It's been a while.
Welcome to the first in a new series of the Geekly Chronicles.
Series 5, can you believe it?
I know, and yet we remain positively unkilled by video as the radio stars we are.
I'm stunned.
I'm hungry.
I am not at all surprised.
The 7 weeks we've been away have been pretty eventful though, right?
That's right. Since we've been gone, not only can we breathe for the first time, but also a creamery in the United States launched Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton flavoured ice creams.
That's incredible. In Australia, a man was bitten on the penis by a venomous spider after exactly the same thing happened to him 5 months ago. That's a double biter right there.
And in California, a woman found $5,000 in a Domino's pizza box, returned it to Domino's, and was rewarded with free pizza for life.
Wow.
Wow, that sounds pretty good, isn't it?
I'd have kept the cash. But after all of that, it's time to get geekly.
We've got a pretty awesome show lined up tonight.
Absolutely. We've got our first Would You Fund It of the new series. We have a new twist on our regular game show, Game of Geeks.
Ooh. And we'll be talking to a special guest, Terence Eden, about the adventure games and digital randomness. And not only one guest, but another one, Andrew from this year's Great British Bake Off.
And we're even kicking off a new competition called Winning Words, in which you can actually win stuff.
Not forgetting, of course, the fact that you can request music, all of your music requests on the show, and shout outs if you want them to. So without further ado, 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
We did mention something about a brand new competition, though.
We did indeed. You could actually win something.
That'd be pretty brilliant, wouldn't it?
Well, of course, this wouldn't be the Geekly Chronicles if the competition weren't some sort of random gimmick.
It would not. And to that end, we've decided to give our competition a bit of 90s radio glitz and glam.
Glitz and glam?
Okay, the 90s may have been neither of those things, but what we mean is, in true 90s radio style, back when the radio was on the radio instead of on the internet, we're hosting a brand new phone-in competition.
A phone-in? Oh, ooh, fantastic. Yes. Well, that's right. We're launching a brand new competition called Winning Words, where you can win stuff.
Yeah, so stuff like Geekly merch. We've got an ultimate Geekly merch bundle, including a mug. One of our very fashionable tote bags, which can save you valuable 5p in the supermarket and more.
Indeed. And also a mystery prize to be revealed later in the show. So, to be in with a shot of winning all this exciting stuff, all you have to do is listen.
They're already doing that.
But listen closely. Each episode will have a special winning word that you need to listen out for.
And as soon as you hear it, give us a call using the phone numbers on our website.
Yes, if you're the first to call after you hear the winning word, you win the things.
All the things.
Ooh. As soon as you hear the winning word, give us a ring. If you're in the UK, give us a call on 020-3389-6245. Or if you're in the US, you can call us on 415-287-9705.
And here's the voice of Geekly, Hattie Hayridge, with the rules.
Calls cost the standard geographic rate from mobiles and BT landlines. Other networks may vary, and international calls will cost significantly more. Lines close at the end of the show. Please do not try to enter if you are listening back to the podcast, as the competition has closed, but you may still be charged. For full terms or to find another regional number, visit gkly.co/win.
But of course, the winning words competition needs a winning word.
It does. And the winning word this week, the one to listen out for and call in as soon as you hear it on the show, is...
phalange.
Indeed. So if you hear us say that word again during tonight's show, give us a ring, starting now.
Absolutely. I'm really excited for this competition. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing.
I feel like I'm in the 90s.
But don't forget, you can, of course, get all of your song requests and dedications in as well. Why don't you tell them, Chris? How can they do that?
Well, you can do that in our chat room. Join us in the GKLY channel on Freenode, or use the chat box on our website, or you can tweet us at GKLYCO and let us know what you want us to play.
We don't want your money, but if we did, we'd spend it on stuff like this. It's Would You Fund It?
Indeed it is. Would you fund it? I'm just going to wait for you to fix that.
Wow, this computer's doing all kinds of odd things tonight.
Fantastic.
I think it's missed us over the last 7 weeks.
I think it has. Anyway, as I was saying, Would You Fund It is our unique take on crowdfunding, where we present to you, the listeners, a truly terrible pitch and ask you to vote on whether or not you would fund it in a sort of Kickstarter-y kind of deal.
So, whose pitch is it this week?
Watch out, world. It's Catherine's turn to pitch this week.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hold on to your hats.
Okay.
Oh, or more appropriately, maybe hold on to your baps. Because.
Explain.
Well, you know, this is kind of a. This appeals to our love of a meme. You know, we all love a good meme. And also our love of a little practical joke.
So yeah. This is your pitch for us saying, you know, whether we should fund this idea of yours or not.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's
find out.
Let's find out what it is.
All right, Dave.
All right, Steve, mate.
Great barbecue you got going on here. Can't wait to try the first burgers.
I love this new grill. Charcoal gets nice and evenly hot. Really gives these bad boys a nice flavour, you know.
Ah, it's not just about the burger, though, is it, Dave?
Too right, Steve, too right. Quality burgers, but quality cheese and quality buns.
Oh, I guess you've bought Borwitten's buns as per?
Not this time, mate, not this time. Even better. First burger's ready, you want me to toast you up a bap?
Go on then, mate. Is a face appearing on me bap as it's toasting?
You just watch, mate.
Oh my god. Dave, I know that face. It's...
Are you a bit of a joker? Do you like to rickroll your friends? So do we. Our amazing team have engineered the Astley's Bap. Our innovative new burger sheath that, when toasted, reveals Rick Astley's face for all the world to see.
Hey, Sharon, check this out. I'm never giving this burger up.
Some people claim to see Jesus in their jam sarnies. Some reckon they've seen Buddha in their breakfast. Now you can see Rick on your rolls every time.
My God, it's full of stars.
Rickroll your friends with Astley's Baps. Stocks are limited, so buy now before they run around and desert you.
Wow.
So let me get this straight. They're rolls.
Yeah.
Bread rolls.
Bread rolls.
Toast them. Rick Astley's face appears.
Yep.
The ultimate way to rickroll your friends.
Yeah. It's a literal rickroll.
A literal rickroll.
Wow.
I love this.
So I guess, you know, you buy them, you hope your friends haven't heard about them.
You serve a burger.
You serve them, and yeah.
Or even if your friends have heard about them, it's like Russian roulette with rolls and Rick Astley, which was the best alliteration I've done all week. But
mix them up with some regular baps and like who gets Astley's face wins.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Who gets rickrolled? Yeah,
yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know, we'd have to make, you know, packs so that you could sort of sell them in singles, or you know, a pack where you do the pack where, you know, just one of them is a rickroll.
That's amazing. Like those Doritos roulette ones.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. With the hot chili.
Amazing.
Burrito, yeah.
So, well, I suppose all that's left is to see whether the listeners enjoy it or not.
Yes.
Vote now at gkly.co/fundit.
We'll be checking back in with the results from Would You Fund It later in the show.
I'm excited to see how this one comes out. But before that, we've had another request in. This one, it's been requested by ESA Rosetta in the chat room. Now, I'm sure that's not your real name, as I'm not entirely sure that you're able to communicate.
What with having just crashed into a comet and everything.
Yes, indeed. But whoever is behind that account in our chat room has requested The Comet Song by Bjork.
Appropriate.
I think that is probably the most appropriate request that we've had today.
Oh.
So we'll be playing that very shortly. We've got loads more coming up as well.
Yes. Coming up, we'll delve into the depths of the internet with the Tumble Fumble, and we'll be talking to Terence Eden and Andrew Smith.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. It's like that recurring dream with the clown, only now there's three of them.
Now, as we were saying at the beginning of the show, Creamery in the United States has introduced Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump-flavoured ice cream.
Wow.
Ample Hills Creamery in New York have unveiled the two flavours designed to best represent each presidential candidate.
Well, the flavours are called Madam President and Make America Orange Again, respectively. As if you needed me to tell you that. It's something that Ample Hills Creamery, Ample Hills, believes all voters can get behind and are destined to represent, and they're designed to kind of represent the candidates themselves.
Innuendo alert, innuendo alert. Catherine's at it again.
Stop it with your innuendos.
Do you have Ample Hills, Catherine?
In your endo.
Stop it, you two.
Well, that's not really for me to judge.
This is true. The Madam President flavour combines two of Hillary Clinton's favourite foods, chocolate and chilli, and includes pieces of chocolate chip cookie from Hillary's own recipe. Trump's flavour, on the other hand, is bright day glow orange, shamelessly orange and marshmallow flavoured, and genuinely contains actual bricks made of brownie so you can build a wall!
Wow. I love that this creamery thinks this is going to be the sort of election where we need to drown our sorrows with ice cream, because they'd be right.
Yes.
But a portion of the profits from both flavours go to Michelle Obama's charity, Let Girls Learn, which is great. The one thing they don't tell us is whether or not you can get Mexico to pay for it.
Indeed, but that's not the only news this week. In fact, in the 7 or so weeks we've been off the air, quite a lot has happened.
Yeah, it has been a bit eventful. It's been a busy and confusing time for everyone. There's been news from all around the world and all kinds of things, from politics to gaming to, well, I mean, just about everything. So we thought we might give you a hand wrapping your head around some of the biggest news stories from the last couple of months, because, of course, when we're not on the air, you don't get news from anywhere else, do you?
Clearly not.
News free.
Exactly.
This is where you get your journalism.
So here's our attempt to bring you up to speed as quickly as we can. It's been 1,200 hours since we all were last on air. 7 whole weeks in which we haven't had to care about the news and politics. We usually tend to cover it in our general newsy bits at the start of every show. But lots has happened recently, many things we've come to see. So what's been going on? There's a killer snake on the streets of Liverpool. Some kids burnt down their local school, and Canada is blocking vapes. That's just great. Pensioners are hosting raves. Red Dwarf is now back on Dave about smegging time. Last 7 weeks, we've seen much of UK politics. Brexit means Brexit, even if it hasn't started yet. Australia passed one good law, even if their leader's unpopular. And Adventure Time will go off air at the end of Series 9. Lots has happened recently, many things we've come to see. So what's been going on? Loch Ness Monster scene. We witnessed great Olympics teams. Will and Grace filmed some new scenes. And Corbyn won for a second time. Second time.
while things with Trump and Hillary are as hostile as can be. Supporters argue over tweets while candidates argue over tax. It'll absolutely drive you wild! Drive you wild! While Theresa May is bringing back grammar schools, an English boss broke all the rules, Zuckerberg donates his cash. Oh, what a 2 months it has been. The world has seen some crazy things. But now, it's time for Series 5.
If you're a regular listener, you'll know it's time for the Geekly Chronicles. If you're an irregular listener, you need to eat more fibre. More random happenings from across the internet. It's the Tumble Fumble.
Wow.
Indeed. Catherine, what nuggets of gold have you extracted from the depths of the internet this week?
Oh, I don't know about gold or depths. But
okay.
There's some internet involved.
There's definitely some internet in there.
What
yeah.
stuff have you found on the internet in the last 20 minutes?
Okay, yeah. Good. Okay, well, a little bit more than 20 minutes ago, I found the first two things. So they are Pokemon Go related, so I apologise if you're not a Pokemon Go player, but I am. So that's all that matters to me, really. These are two things that I found really useful in playing the game. The first one is, it's just a map, really. It's PokemonGoMap.info. And if you're going to a new place, it can be really helpful to know where the Pokestops and the gyms and stuff are going to be. I was in Amsterdam this week, and it was really nice to be able to look before I went and see that, oh yeah, there's a Pokestop near my hotel, and there's going to be one near where I'm going. You know, it's just interesting, really, I think. So if you, like me, would like to be able to check that stuff out, you can go to PokemonGoMap.info. Just put in the name of the place that you want to check out. And see what Pokestops and gyms there are. I have found that in some places there's a couple of things missing. I don't know whether that's just a little glitch in something or whether this is actually sort of curated and a few things have been missed. I know there are lots of these maps out there. This is the best one I've found, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best one. So if you found a better one, let me know. But yeah, it's certainly the best one I've found, PokemonGoMap.info.
Most useful.
For checking out new places before you go Pokemon hunting. Yes. So, and then the second thing for Pokemon Go players, I won't linger too long on each one, as obviously not everyone plays Pokemon Go, is an app. I know that it's available in the Google Play Store, so Android people are good. I'm sure there must be an iPhone equivalent, even if it's not exactly the same app. It's called IVGo. Now, if you're more of a casual Pokemon Go player, you might not have heard about IV, which is individual values.
Oh, that sounds...
I haven't actually heard of them at all.
So each Pokemon, the kind of the combat power score that you get, you know, the CP, obviously the higher that is, the more powerful your Pokemon is. But some Pokemon, you know, even if you powered them up and powered them up and powered them up, are never going to become as powerful as others. So the individual values are sort of the way that score is kind of broken down into different things. I think some of them are like attack power, like hit points, I don't know, like defensive stuff. I don't exactly understand how it works. There was a site called Pokemon Assistant that kind of helped you work all that out, but you still had to do some of the maths for yourself. And it really helps you work out which of your Pokemon have the best potential. So which one are you going to keep and evolve and power up, and which ones are you going to send off to the professor to be ground up into candy?
So I don't really play Pokemon Go a lot. I mean, I have the app, and I think I'm at like level 19, just by kind of wandering around and catching things, and then, as you say, having them ground up into candy, which I find.
We don't really know that they get ground up. We just send them to the professor and he gives us candy.
It looks just like the Pokemon.
Yeah,
it's just our pessimistic minds that say they're getting
it would make
ground
sense.
Up in a big Pokemon blender.
But this essentially, for people like me who don't play very much, could help me, you know, cheat.
I don't know if it's cheating, because I suppose the maths is all doable. It would just take you a long time.
It would take me a very long time.
Yeah. So I suppose it just does the maths for you so that it doesn't take you a long time. So I'll tweet a link and things to the App Store so that people can find this easily. Because I'm not reading out the link. That would be mad. So the app, literally, you just get a list of your Pokemon and it tells you how good they are. So the 100% ones are awesome and you need to keep them and power them up and evolve them. And, you know, the ones with really low percentages, I think they sort of rank them from A to D. The D ones are the ones you send off to the professor and just let him do whatever he does with them.
Well, there are some, like, policies here that I'm not okay with. Take the worst ones and grind them up.
Yeah, actually, so some
like
Pokemon,
this is not
that
how
I have...
our education system should be working.
Yeah, so some Pokemon that I've evolved already before I kind of knew about Ivy and things are kind of D-rated, but they're sort of, you know, for example, I've got a Golduck that's kind of about 1,000 CP, and sometimes if
it's
you've
probably
got
cream for that,
yeah. So if you've got say, you know, a 1,400 fire Pokemon in a gym and you want to fight it, if I use my water Pokemon, which is around 1,000, to fight it, I'm going to score more points when I'm trying to take that gym down and when I'm trying to level that gym up, because I'm beating a more powerful Pokemon with my weaker one. So I'm keeping those because they're really helpful to have in my arsenal. You know, I'm not going to grind up that one just because it's a D, but I'm probably not going to power it up either.
Fascinating.
This is getting a bit geeky, isn't it? I should move on to the next thing.
Please.
Yeah, if you play Pokemon Go, have a look at the app. If you don't, I'm sorry. Right.
I don't have a jingle for stop talking and move on to the next thing.
You need that piece of music that they play at the Oscars. Just sort of, wah, wah, wah. I don't know.
Okay.
Next wah, wah, wah. Non-Pokemon Go related item, please.
Mm. Okay. So this is, I suppose, commenting on the state of affairs in London. This is a Tumblr called Priced Out London. So pricedoutlondon.tumblr.com is where you want to go. And this is kind of taking the price labels from Tesco stores and adapting and kind of modifying the prices so the things have increased in price by the same sort of percentage as house prices in London.
Wow.
So, for example, the first one I'm seeing here is an avocado, you know, just a loose avocado.
Normally about like 60p or whatever, right?
Yeah, sometimes a bit more, you know, usually under a pound.
Yeah.
But this one, if avocados in the last 20 years had increased in price as much as a house in London, would be £10.38.
Wow.
For an avocado.
Wow.
That's quite incredible.
It says elsewhere on the label, house prices have risen by 938% in Oval over the last 20 years.
That's incredible. Ooh.
So I've got some Cathedral City Mature Cheddar.
Ooh.
So
other so, cheese brands, you know, are available.
For a 350-gram kind of block, it would cost you £36.33.
That is a lot for a block of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I've paid more for cheese.
Well, yeah.
I'm hardly surprised.
But not a 350-gram block of cathedral
city.
No, this is true. Yeah.
So your tomato ketchup, your Heinz kind of squeezy bottle, 570 grams, so a pretty kind of middle-sized bottle would cost you £15.52.
Wow. This really is shedding a light on the dire Ooh. Situation of London house prices.
74 Pampers nappies would cost you £73.15.
Wow.
That's very valuable poo.
That's mm-hmm. 98p per nappy ish. 99p.
No. 98.
My mental math is not great.
So basically a quid a nappy.
A quid a nappy.
A pound of poop.
I like that on these like
That's
fake...
not much more than it is in tube stations.
This is true. I like that on these fake labels that they've put on the products, it still says at the bottom like £73.15 for the nappies and tells you what the product is, and then at the bottom it says and club card points too.
Oh, if only you could get club card points when you bought a house.
I know, right?
That would, yeah, you'd get, like, your first 8 shops in the new house would be entirely free.
Yes. The points.
Points.
There's two loyalty program nerds on this side of the table. I don't know if you'd noticed.
Okay, so that leaves me with one more thing in the fumble, which, again, I won't dwell on. Well, we probably will dwell on, actually, but I won't dwell on it right now.
Elsewhere in the show.
So if you wanted to buy yourself or someone else a gift without spending too much money, you might want to check out a Tumblr called Fiverr Fun. It's fiverrfun.tumblr.com. And we're going to talk about that. Yes, also on Twitter. We're going to talk about that a bit more soon.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Catherine. That was most enlightening, and thank you for all of the education around Pokemon Go. Not something that I was prepared for, but not something that I've retained.
Something that you have nonetheless received.
Yes, so thank you for that. I feel enlightened.
And slightly bamboozled.
Yes, yeah, very slightly. Large amount of bamboozling here. But you can see the highlights of everything that Catherine has discovered across the web this week by heading to our Twitter account. That's GKLYCO on Twitter. Indeed, and it's there. And on our Tumblr, I believe, as well.
Probably. Yes.
Probably.
Probably.
I reckon at you. You manage the Tumblr, Catherine.
It is the Tumble Fumble. It makes sense. Up next, we'll be talking to tinkerer Terence Eden and Andrew from Bake Off and having the most fun you can have for £5.
The Geekly Chronicles. It's like the Archbishop of Banterbury and a Bantosaurus Rex and a Bants baby, and it's like top, innit?
And joining us now on the show, we have our very special guest for the first episode of the new series, Terence Eden. Hello, Terence.
Hello, gang. How are you?
Oh, very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Well, it's another beautiful day in my geeky world, so yes, I'm doing fantastic.
Excellent. Well, we have already talked about on the show the Fiverr Fun Tumblr that you run. I have to ask, where did the idea come from? And also, how do you choose the sub £5 product?
Well, the idea came from Secret Santa at work a few years ago. We were looking through Amazon for joke products and, you know, good fun things that you could buy. It just suddenly struck me there's offices up and down the country which are doing Secret Santas. Wouldn't it be good to have a sort of website which sort of listed his cool fun stuff that you can buy for about a fiver? And that's where it came from. So I just started initially just adding things to a list, and it grew bigger and geekier.
Now, what's the weirdest thing that you have found for under a fiver?
Oh, the weirdest things. There's lots of bulk things you can get, which I really love. So, you know, like I say, his loads of capacitors for a quid. I like the googly eyes. You can buy a huge bag of googly eyes for about £3 and just stick them everywhere. And I've just had mini sriracha bottles. So, you know, sriracha hot sauce. You can get mini tiny bottles of that, which you can fill up and then keep on your keyring, so that whenever you're having a disappointing sandwich, you've got some hot sauce there that you can just squirt out when you need it.
Well, I mean, I have a very passionate love affair with sriracha sauce, so being able to have that on my keys and, as you say, spice up a boring sandwich. There's nothing worse than in life than finding a boring sandwich.
I like to build my own things. I mean, I guess lots of geeks do. And it originally started me going on to Amazon and scrolling through listings and then copying and pasting and uploading to Tumblr. And I think everyone knows that experience. If you've repeated a task like 10 times and you go, nope, I'm going to find a way to automate this.
I was going to ask about geeky shoes, because that's another one of the Tumblr blogs and Twitter accounts and kind of things that you run, is just posting geeky shoes.
Yeah, so I saw a friend of mine had these really expensive shoes, and I don't know how to describe them, like a spiral which wraps around your feet. And I was just... they're absolutely gorgeous, sort of spirally high heels. And I thought, I want those in a men's size. And they don't do them in a men's size because they're sexist. But it sort of led me down this wormhole. It's like when you're browsing Wikipedia and you click one thing and then another, and all of a sudden you're at a completely random page. I suddenly found myself in this weird Amazon world where it was just suggesting Star Wars themed shoes and Alice in Wonderland high heels and weird Japanese manga trainers. And I thought, oh, this is brilliant. And there's men's shoes and women's shoes there. So I did exactly the same thing. I put this Tumblr together. And so every day it posts two different pairs of shoes, some of which are things like these big fluffy Lego slippers, which I absolutely love.
And
others are these ridiculously expensive sort of couture shoes, which have got Darth Vader heads for the heels. And they're absolutely brilliant. Do not suit my foot at all, but lots of people seem to like them, which is brilliant.
Little technology side projects are sort of a theme of yours, aren't they? I'm thinking of the fact that your solar panels tweet every day.
What of it? Don't yours? God, stop having a go. So a few years ago, I got solar panels fitted and the installer said as he was doing it, do you have a Wi-Fi password? And I thought he wanted to check his emails. And it turns out that the box which controls my solar panels has an app. And as I was fiddling around with it, I discovered my solar panels have an API. Brilliant. What can I do with this amazing information? So I've got a little Raspberry Pi and it pings my solar panels every minute and records all the energy they're generating and then draws a graph and once a day posts it to Twitter.
And, you know, great for bragging rights. Like, hey, you know, look at how efficient energy-wise I am.
And I can use it to charge my electric car as well, which also tweets. So visit at @edent_car. And every time I make a journey in my electric car, I hacked the BMW API so that I can get information out of it. And just post information up and around, and it, you know, emails me when my battery's low and stuff like that. Twitter is a nice way so that I can see it. And if anyone else is mad enough to want to follow @edent_solar or _car or... I've got a one of these Roomba robot vacuum cleaners that also tweets @Eden_Roomba. Are you sensing a theme here? But it needs to actually complain that it's got stuff stuck in it. Or another day sucking all the dust out of this guy's carpet. Yeah. I think giving my Twitter robots genuine people personalities would be a perfect use of my time. There's no good way. It's something that I've always thought Twitter should do, which is differentiate between this account is a person and this account is a robot. Because sometimes you do follow things and you think, hang on, is this a person who's manually typing this in each day, or is this something which is just giving you a little status update? And I think that Twitter, for all its faults, is just a brilliant sort of little pub sub platform where, you know, if I want, I can just go in and check in on all the things on my house. I don't need to open 10 different apps. I've just got half a dozen Twitter accounts and I can glance at it and see, the solar battery is charging, my car is, you know, parked where it's meant to be, and all these different things.
You were saying about Twitter being able to make it clear which accounts are bots and which are humans. My Twitter bot that Kez made for me, based on my tweets, once had a lengthy conversation with Amazon help. It tweeted something mentioning Amazon, which then prompted them to send a reply. And then, of course, the bot messages back, and just there was no end of confusion about what the problem might actually be. So in the end, I had to kind of step in and say, sorry, you know, that's actually a robot. Don't worry. There's no problem here.
Oh, that's sad and hopeful at the same time, isn't it? It's like it's a Turing test. Is your bot clever enough to fool some wage slave, you know, stuck in a cubicle answering the same tedious help desk questions every single day? I think that's somehow beautiful, isn't it? Because you're never sure when you're talking to Amazon or any customer service, am I talking to a real person, or is this, you know, just a very clever bot? It's our job to build amazing things, and some of the things that we build aren't great, and some get used for dodgy purposes. And, you know, I'm sure we've all had the experience of building something and then seeing someone we don't like using it, or using it for a nefarious purpose. But it's kind of up to us to design things which promote niceness. I'm sorry if that sounds too... I can't even find the words to describe it. You know, if you're building a platform like Twitter, it's kind of up to you to go, all right, what if the worst person in the world were to use our service? How could we make it so that it wouldn't absolutely terrify everyone?
Although if you can manage to do evil things with the tweeting Roomba, that's quite impressive.
That's impressive.
I was thinking of sellotaping a knife to it and getting it to...
Battle Roomba.
Yeah. I think I might enter it into the next series of Robot Wars.
That'd be amazing. So, Terence, you've taken one of my favourite... type type of books as a child, the kind of build your own adventure books, and you have brought that into the modern age. Tell us a bit about that.
So a few years ago, I just got bored one day, and you know when you're bored, you just start thinking about, well, I had loads of ideas percolating away in the background, and I thought, I'd really like to build a piece of interactive fiction. I used to love those books, you know, like those Steve Jackson ones, you know, turn to page 7 now, and if you want to fight the hobgoblin, turn to page 54. And it suddenly struck me that could you do it with Twitter? So I did. I got dozens of old Twitter accounts, some which I had and some which people gave me, and built a multiple choice piece of interactive fiction.
How did you even go about making that story? Did that take a lot of planning? Were there diagrams?
Well, I started off really low tech, which was pen and paper, basically. It was like, I thought, okay, well, what's the basic structure that I want of this story? And, you know, I started typing out various sentences, and then I tried, you know, drawing in word, you know, links between them, and it didn't quite work. And I found on the web this brilliant website, Inkle Writer, and it's specifically designed for building your own interactive fiction. So you type the paragraph, the first bit of the story, and then the options, and then you can link those options to different parts of the stories, and you can create trees and loops and everything like that. And that's what I did. So it was a little bit of paper mapping, just going, okay, well, I know that at this point I want it to loop back to that point, and this is definitely the ending that I want here. And then I need, you know, all these 7 grisly deaths over here. Mm-hmm. And then using Inkle Writer just to map them all out. And it's been brilliant.
So, Terence, what do you make of Astley's Baps?
Well, I make toast out of my Astley's Baps, and have done for many years. I find them a nutritious and delicious start to the day and a perfect accompaniment to every meal. Yes, I can definitely see a market for people buying this at least once. Yes. Possibly no more than once, but I think people, you know, you can buy mashtags. Have you seen mashtags? They're hashtags made of potato. So, yes, I think people will definitely buy meme-based food for a short period.
Terence, are you a fan of the Great British Bake Off?
I am a massive Bake Off fan. I really can't get enough of it. It's good, clean fun. I was trying to describe to someone why I love it so much, and it's because the stakes are so low. You know, you win a nice bunch of flowers and, you know, you've made loads of cake. It's not like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where it's life-changing amounts of money. It's just so much fun, and I love it, yeah.
Who are you rooting for on the show? Who do you want to win?
Well, obviously Val, I thought, was going to win. I thought that her Yorkshire puddings would just knock everyone out of the park, and sadly it wasn't to be. So I'm gutted that Val's gone. But my mate Jen is in love with Candice, so I have to say, I just think they're all great. But for this is a shout out to Jen. I'm rooting for Candice.
We're interviewing the wonderful Andrew from Bake Off later on the show. If you could ask him any question, what would that be?
I don't know. Let me compose myself. It's an awesome responsibility you've given me here. I would like to ask one very specific question, and that's, between Mel and Sue, which one smells better? You know, they spend so much time eating the cakes. Do they absorb the smell of all the cakes that they eat? That's what I want to know.
Well, I always imagine the tent smells lovely.
One last question for you. You've talked a lot about tinkering, building things, making things. A lot of people are probably sat listening going, okay, that's great. How? What would be your golden advice for them?
The first thing is to have a clear picture in your head of what it is you want to achieve. I see, you know, I help teach young people to code, and too often they say, I want to build a game. And you say, all right, well, what sort of game? I don't know, just any game. And there's nowhere to go from there. So if you've got a task that you want to solve, you know, like I want my lights to turn on when I open the door, or I want my solar panels to tweet, you know, just start with the kernel of an idea and then buy a Raspberry Pi. It doesn't really matter if you end up using it. You'll end up with half a dozen Raspberry Pis littered around your house, but they're so cheap. Ask people for help. There's so many great open source communities. So whether it's on Raspberry Pi forums, or go to GitHub and find some code which looks like it might do what you want, and have a play, but ask people, tweet about it. We're a big friendly community. Well, we're mostly friendly. Start with an idea, get a Raspberry Pi, and just go looking for someone else's code to build on. Don't try and reinvent everything from scratch. And then ask for help when you need it, because we're always here. The internet is always there to help you.
Well, Terence, thank you so much for joining us this week and telling us all about the great things that you've been working on and building. And thanks for that excellent advice for people looking to get into building stuff.
It's been an absolute blast. Thank you so much for having me.
And now, rather excitingly for the Geekly Chronicles, it's a double guester.
Blimey, I don't know if I've experienced a double guesting before.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
It does take some getting used to.
You too, honestly. Well, also joining us tonight is someone who you may recognise as exactly the sort of person who measures their butter. From a show that I've not really been a fan of until this series, I have to admit. I had been berated very much by the two of you for not having watched it before, and I tuned in and am now absolutely hooked on it. It's a show that never fails to make me hungry.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal. It's an institution. So from this year's Great Britain, I can't even talk now. Better calm myself down before this interview. From this year's Great British Bake Off. So Andrew, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, thanks very much.
I have to ask, as someone who is obviously now famous for baking, but comes from an engineering background, which came first for you? Was it a love of baking, or a love of engineering?
Well, that's a good question. I think I always had a love of food. I was quite a chubby wee child and was always nibbling at stuff in the kitchen. So I've probably been a foodie before I was a baker. But I suppose really, in terms of actually making stuff myself, it was probably engineering that came first. I was a very curious child and always fascinated by how stuff works. So and then I started my engineering degree, and then the baking came across as a little something on the side.
Was it a sociable thing or stress relief?
Initially, we didn't have the best kitchens at university, so it wasn't really stress relieving because it was some dodgy kitchenware, but it was definitely good in terms of the social aspects. Every time someone had a birthday or something, or after, you know, a long day of revision in exam season, kind of, you know, whipping up a lemon drizzle could be quite cathartic.
Excellent. And I mean, the nation has come to know your edible creations, but what is it that you actually design and build in your daytime? What are you an engineer of?
I basically deal with jet engines day in, day out. So I work in analysis. So put it simply, I take test results, so pressures, temperatures, engine speeds, that type of thing. And then I run a computer model to try and work out how efficient the engine is, how much fuel it's burning. And then we use that to kind of develop new products. A lot of numbers, a lot of graphs going away. Baking's quite a nice creative outlet on the side of that.
Speaking of creative outlets, you sing too, don't you? Have you got any concerts or anything like that coming up?
I'm doing a concert in Derby. I sing with a group called the Sitwell Singers, and we're doing a big 50th anniversary concert at the end of October in Derby Cathedral. Some very classical singing on one side, but last year I got into a bit of musical theatre, which is quite a good bit of fun. There might be some people who spotted me in a slightly different outfit earlier in the year and doing some musical theatre numbers.
Do you combine all of those things together as well? Is there a lot of singing while you bake or singing while you work?
I think, there can be quite a lot of singing and kind of jiving around the kitchen sometimes when baking. Especially true when I was practicing for Bake Off and everything. It's nice to be able to kind of, you know, relax fully in the kitchen, although I'm not sure how much my housemates appreciated that.
So I'm interested to know what made you decide to apply for Bake Off.
I suppose I've always been a bit competitive, but I've always loved baking as well. I've been a massive fan of the show since it started. I've watched it since series one, and I almost applied for series six. I kind of practiced a bit last year, and then I thought, this is the year to go for it. And my friends and family suggested I should apply, and I thought, you know, I'll give it a really good go this year. And it seems to be going all right so far.
What's been your favourite thing that you've baked on the show so far?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I think probably the thing that I was most proud of might have been what I called the gingerbread bridge that I had to do for Biscuit Week, actually, because that had a couple of iterations before I settled on that one. Last year for work, I tried to make a full arch bridge and it had something like 50 elements with different structural bits, but that just turned into an icing covered mess in the kitchen. So I needed to reduce my ambitions slightly to fit it into the time.
And when you're coming up with your signature bake and your showstopper, how do you decide what you're going to make? Are there like suggestions, or do you just have to pretty much be creative about what you're going to do?
Yeah, you have to be very creative. So I think, you know, we obviously have to fulfill a certain things. You know, in the first week, you know, we had to do a drizzle cake. So it has to be a drizzle cake. But in terms of the flavours and everything, that's totally up to us. And we can try and bring our own creativity and, you know, how we present it, what flavours are in it. That's totally up for us. And it's been really interesting so far that everybody's had very different ideas. In the first episode, there weren't 5 lemon drizzle cakes. Everybody's taken a slightly different slant on it. Which has been quite interesting to watch back as well.
Where do you get your ideas from? Is it all your own favourite things and flavours, or do you take ideas from family and friends?
I think the ideas initially came from inside my head, but I had a trusted panel of taste testers when I was trying to perfect the recipe. So for that lemon and rosemary drizzle cake, I made several practice versions of that at home before it kind of, you know, I committed to going in to do it. So, I think definitely not improved the waistline of any of my housemates, put it that way.
Just thinking about, you know, you say you've had a chance to try and test out making a lot of things, but is there anything that you would really like to bake but you've not had the chance to actually attempt yet?
I'd love it. This one came to me last week, actually. I've always wanted to make a croque en bouche. So it's one of those massive cone-shaped things made out of choux pastry and caramel. Mm. They look really impressive. They look great fun to make, but I've never had a good excuse to make one.
If you weren't a contestant on this series of Bake Off, who would you want to win?
Oh, that's a tough question. You know, I'm going to be very diplomatic and say that they're all great, and it's very hard to choose between them. And I'm not just saying that to be Mr. Nice Guy, but genuinely, we all get on so well. And I think the main thing that I found was everybody was very supportive. And although everybody obviously wants to be the best each week, nobody wants anybody else to do badly. So it's kind of a friendly competition, but you don't wish anybody else to fail on the bakes or anything. So, you know, whoever it is in the end fully deserved it, and they're all a great bunch of bakers. So that's my diplomatic answer.
We had world-renowned tinkerer Terence Eden on the show earlier, and he had a bit of a bizarre question for you. Who smells better, Mel or Sue?
Who smells better?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to remember now. I mean, to be honest, I never really got up close for a good sniff. There's generally so much kind of, whether it be like fryer fat or like kind of last week, butter coming out of the oven. I'm not sure if I was able to get a good sniff up close. I imagine they spend a lot of time together, so I imagine they're both pretty similar on the smell front.
Thinking about the hosts and the judges, which of them out of Mary and Paul and Mel and Sue do you think would make a better engineer?
Ooh, that's tough. I think it might have to be Paul. I don't know, because bread, generally, you have to be very precise in terms of proving time, and there's quite a lot of technical aspects. There's more to it than meets the eye, I think, and Paul's been doing that for a long time. But, you know, saying that, you know, Mary's very accomplished, and although bread might not be her forte, she's definitely very competent when it comes to kind of broader cooking and baking. She's got a lot of experience, but... I'd say Paul would make an all right engineer. I'm not sure if he has the temperament for it, but I think he's definitely got the precision.
Do you think that the measure twice, cut once approach with engineering works well in baking? I mean, we saw you measure your butter.
I did measure my butter. I kind of look at baking as nothing goes right first time, and even when you practice things, baking is kind of just a constant attempt to maximize your chances of success.
When everyone brings something different to the show, and I think one of the things that's been so great about this series is the diversity amongst all of the people that are there. Out of everyone that you've worked with on this series of Bake Off, who would you say was the nerdiest?
Ooh, the nerdiest. I'd say it would probably have to be Tom, I reckon. Mm. Well, you know, Tom, you saw when he was doing Bread Week. Tom's got amazing knowledge of loads of kind of classical things. He comes from a very arts background. I come from a very science background, but we're both kind of nerdy in our own field. And I can't even pronounce what he called his bread in the end. It was some legend with Thor and lots of letters I couldn't pronounce, but he is a very knowledgeable guy, and I reckon out of all the bakers, he's probably geeking it up there with me.
Okay, so a number of our listeners are aspiring engineers, whether it's mechanical, electrical, software, or aerospace. As someone living that dream and working in the field of engineering and kind of gone off to studying that, do you have any advice that you'd give to those people, or anything that you wish someone had told you when you were younger?
Stay curious. You know, when I was younger, I was probably a bit of a pain at school, and that I'd be given an answer to a question, but if I didn't get to kind of fundamentals of it, I'd just keep on asking, and it probably drove some of my teachers mad. But I think that's so important, especially when you're coming into engineering, is just to be curious about how the world works, wanting to understand the laws that make it up and how you can use those for humanity's benefit at the end of the day.
Have you ever made a really geeky bake? I see people online that make things like Star Wars cakes in the shape of stormtrooper helmets and stuff. Have you ever done anything like that?
You know what, I did very recently. We were laughing because in our team at work, my colleague, he was one of the roboteers in the recent series of Robot Wars. And I actually made a gingerbread version of his robot, because it aired just after Biscuit Week went out. So I did a gingerbread version of Carbide, which was his robot, with the spinning bar at the front and everything, which seemed to go down pretty well in the office.
Did the cake actually move? Did the bar at the front spin around?
Sadly not. You know, I was thinking initially if I could, you know, put some like chocolate fingers in the middle to make like a bearing. And I thought, Andrew, there's a time and a place. There's only so much gingerbread engineering you can do. So I kind of settled for roughly the right shape, all covered and everything with the bar at the front. But no moving parts, but it looked the part, I think.
So singer, engineer, baker, what next?
Who knows? I mean, I describe myself as a bit of a jack of all trades. I like to give a go to most things. So, yeah, I don't know what will happen next, actually. I'd love to do more baking, and if there was more ways to kind of infuse baking with engineering, then that's ideal. But, yeah, still working out what that's going to look like, I think.
And if people want to follow along with your journey, can they follow you on Twitter?
Yes, yeah, I'm on Twitter, at Cakesmith, Smith with a Y. And then I'm also on Instagram as well for if you're hungry and you need to look at some pictures of bake.
It's like a your mum joke, except your mum is lovely and we won't hear a word said against her.
I wonder if Andrew could engineer us an Astley's BAP.
Oh, that would have made a good one for Bread Week, actually. I'd have quite liked to see that. I love making bread, actually. I mean, things like Bake Off have really inspired me to get more into things like making cakes and making bread. And I've made plenty of cake, but bread's not something I've done a lot of.
No, it's not that easy to make bread, because cake, you just kind of bung all the ingredients in a food processor and you're basically there.
Yeah, but anything that involves kind of actual hard work in the kitchen, like if I'm making like buttercream for the you know, icing or the middle of a cake or whatever, or if I'm kneading bread, it's just, you know, I ache everywhere, you know, arms, phalanges, every single part of me just aches.
Indeed. And don't forget, you can still vote in Would You Fund It at...
speaking of bread.
Yeah, yes. Speaking of bread. You can still vote in Would You Fund It at gkly.co/fundit. Let me know if you would indeed fund Astley's BAPS.
Yes, do that. Also, don't forget that after this show, it's time for an extra slice on BBC Two, the Bake Off companion show. So that's pretty exciting.
Now, how much fun can you have for a fiver?
Well, that depends on whether it's one of those new plastic fivers.
Well, I think the less we dwell on that, the better. But we mentioned earlier that Terence Eden, brilliant in our interview there. Thank you for joining us once again. Terence runs a blog about stuff for under a fiver.
Yes, he does. That's right. Every episode, we're going to order something random from the Cool Stuff for £5 and Under blog at fiverfun.tumblr.com. We have no idea what it's going to be, so it may well be terrible, but we're going to open it up on air and see what we've got.
Nothing on that blog is terrible.
True. True.
But not only are we going to order it and open it on the show, but also you can win the £5 or less item in the Winning Words competition.
So let's open up this mystery box and see what we, or more importantly, what the winner of this week's Winning Words will receive.
Yes, I have the item here. It's a large, flat, sort of A4 sized
item. It's worth pointing out we have no idea what this is.
No clue whatsoever, but it is
Ooh.
Ooh.
A set of Tetris fridge magnets.
Keep that well away from this mixing desk, please.
Yeah, that would be bad. Yeah. Imagine that if the whole show falls apart because of Tetris magnets.
I mean, normally, this would have my jealousy levels off the charts because, you know, I love Tetris.
You do.
But I already own these, so...
Of course you do.
I would have actually opened the thing in advance, I would have queued up like the Tetris theme music or something. But Catherine, just hum it for us in the background. Clearly demonstrating that you understand what the word hum means there.
Oh.
Thanks.
Indeed.
Yep.
Yes.
If you hear the winning word, give us a call in the UK on 020-3389-6245 or in the US on 415-287-9705. You might just win something.
I just went to put the Tetris magnets back in the drawer and they stuck to the drawer.
Well, that's because they're magnetic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, don't forget, as Catherine said, to keep getting your votes in for Would You Fund It? And we'll be checking up with the results of that later in the show. Up next, I challenge Kez and Catherine to a battle of wits and geek knowledge in my new twist on Game of Geeks.
Very exciting.
you don't sound at all convinced.
Well, I mean, I'm used to Catherine's questions in Game of Geeks, so a new series, new format, new question master. It's going to be
terrifying,
utterly terrifying.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Now for this week's Game of Geeks.
Game of Geeks is back.
Indeed. And this time, you're not the quizmaster.
I know. Does that terrify me?
And rightly so, because in this series, in Game of Geeks, it will be me who is asking the questions, and you and Kez will be battling it out for the title of Series 5 champion.
Well, for anyone new that's listening, Game of Geeks is our pop culture quiz, where Chris will be asking Catherine and me questions about films, books, TV shows, and so on.
It is. Each round, there will be three clues, and you two can buzz in when you think you've got the answer. If you get it on your first clue, you'll score 3 points. If you get it on your second, you'll score 2. And if you get it on the third clue, you'll score just 1 point. However, new for Series 5, I've added a little twist to the scoring.
Oh, twists. Yep. The complication doesn't make me any less terrified.
Yeah. Now, if you only score 1 point by getting the answer right on the third clue, you can choose to stick and keep your 1 point, or twist and gamble it with a bonus question. If you get the bonus question right, you'll score another point, but if you get it wrong, you'll score nothing at all. And the bonus questions could be anything. In the event of a tie, there'll be an extra bonus question as a tiebreaker. Is everyone clear with the new rules?
Not in the slightest.
Fantastic. And of course, for this quiz, we need buzzers. So Kez goes... Never gonna give
you up. Wow.
Indeed. And Catherine predictably goes... Never gonna let you down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling
of
the,
course we do.
Feeling the Astley's Baps love.
Well, yes.
Excellent stuff. So let's begin where all good quizzes do, with round one. And this is a film. Clue number one. This film's storyline splits into two parallel universes telling two different stories. Never gonna let you down. As a consequence of one very minor event. Catherine.
Sliding Doors.
Is the correct answer.
Boom!
Coming in.
Wow.
After one clue.
Ah.
3 points.
Right, I'm not prepared.
Off to
I
a
wasn't
great
prepared.
Start. Well, Catherine was.
The excuses are rolling in already.
And she okay. won. Brilliant stuff. Okay. Moving on then to round two. Well done, Catherine. 3 points for you. This is a TV series.
Okay.
Question number one. This science fiction series, co-produced by Kudos, Channel 4 and AMC, is based on a similar Swedish drama from 2012.
Oh. Never gonna let you down. Warlander or something?
Is incorrect, I'm afraid. So moving on.
Next question.
To question two. This series focuses on the social, cultural, and psychological impacts of artificial intelligence and robotics. Never gonna give you up. Kez.
Oh, what was that one with the robots in it? Because it's not Mr. Robot.
It's not Mr. Robot.
Because it was the one with the... There were the robots and they were... Some of them, you couldn't tell who they were. And the... I know this, but I can't remember the name of it.
I'm going to need the name of it. That's very much how
I
this quiz works.
I can't think of the name of it either.
I'll go to question three.
Please.
To give you some more time to think of the answer.
Please.
This series features anthropomorphic robots known as synths.
Yes. Yes, I know that.
I know you know that.
This isn't the part we have a problem with.
I know you know that.
The part is the name of the show.
I can't tell you the name of the show. That would defeat the entire purpose of the quiz.
Yeah.
Do we give up?
Oh, I don't want to give up.
Yeah, I give up.
I don't want to give you up.
Well, if you don't, you're just going to let me down.
Oh. Okay.
Any
you're
idea?
You're going to have to tell us, and I'm going to have to go, no!
Okay. Prepare to groan in realization, because the answer to that question was humans.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Humans on Channel 4. Coming back for a new series very soon. The next clue is a company.
A company.
Okay.
And I have to say, this round is one I'm very proud of. So here's question one. This company has, by the numbers, the fifth largest navy in the world. It's a company.
Yeah, I've heard this fact before, but I can't.
But it has the fifth largest navy in the world. Never gonna let you down. Catherine.
Might as well have a guess. I'm going to go P&O.
P&O is incorrect, okay. I'm afraid. So, question two. This multinational mass media entertainment conglomerate operates over 500 different assets and brands and employs over 180,000 people.
Disney.
Is correct.
I thought I'd heard that it was Disney.
For 2 points there, coming in on the second clue, the answer is Disney.
Yeah, I thought it might be.
Very right there. The brand is most well known for its animated characters, says my little fact on the bottom of the card.
And its giant navy.
Yes.
Actually, this week I spent a considerable amount of time hanging out with Minnie Mouse.
Well.
Okay. I'll have what you're having.
Fifth largest navy in the world. That includes countries.
Okay.
She didn't tell me that fact, though, for yes. which I will... Let her know. She let me down.
So the scores, 1 point separates you at the moment as we move into the final round of this inaugural Series 5 Game of Geeks, and the final round is a film.
Ooh.
So, question one. This spy action comedy film premiered at the annual Butt Numathon Film Festival in Austin, Texas in December 2014.
The what?
The Butt Numathon Film Festival in Austin, Texas.
And it's a spy action something or other.
Yes, a spy action comedy film.
Yeah, no, I have no idea.
Okay, moving on.
No, this. Okay.
Moving on to question two. Many of this film's main characters are named after Knights of King Arthur's Round Table.
Why isn't my thing singing?
Because Kez just appears to have buzzed, but it didn't make a noise.
I didn't buzz. It was not all intentional.
Right. Buzz. Never gonna let you
down. Okay.
Catherine.
It was that thing that we saw with the song and the thing.
You
and
are,
the stuff.
I mean, you are technically correct, but I can't give you the point
the
unless
saw.
You tell me
was
the
I
answer.
There?
Oh, come on. I can't not get this.
Come on. It's in there somewhere, but you have to say the name
I
for
know,
me to give you the point.
Why? Kingsman.
Is correct.
Yes!
Kingsman, or to give it its full title, the Kingsman The Secret Service, in which Samuel L. Jackson tries to take over the world by giving away free SIM cards to everyone,
of
is
course.
The correct answer. And buzzing in on the second clue, Catherine scores 2 points, which means at the end of this first Game of Geeks...
This week's winner is... Catherine.
Oh. Woo. Wow. I'm not starting there. Was that,
that
a victory
sip? That
was
me taking a victory sip.
Fantastic.
That is not starting the series as I was intending to go on.
No.
That was my beginner's luck.
Indeed. Although, having been consistently beaten over the last few series in all of our competition-based things, it is quite nice to see Catherine completely trounce you in episode one.
If you say so.
Not that I'm in any way unimpartial.
No, apparently not.
But yes, well done, Catherine, on winning your first Game of Geeks.
Oh, I don't know how I managed to kind of squeeze the answer out of my brain, because...
I know.
Well,
it was buried deep in
there. Yeah, definite that was, mental constipation.
I wasn't getting it from that clue, but I loved that film, so it was, yeah, that was entirely a knowledge fail on my part.
Yes, when I put that clue together, there is one clue I could give you, but you would get it instantly if I just sang Give It Up by Casey and the Sunshine Band, but
yep.
I thought that
yeah, I would have got that straight
was,
away.
Was impartial.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That was
wow. Yeah, okay. Nice bit of improv. So,
I feel like we should play that now.
No. Anyway,
which came first, the Geekly or the egg? The egg, obviously, you fool.
Ah, well, I am massively excited about this week's Would You Fund It. To be honest with you, I really like the idea of having Astley's Baps.
Me too, yeah. Actually, the more I've thought about it, yeah, the more into the idea I've gotten.
I absolutely love the idea of Rickrolling somebody with an actual roll. That would be absolutely amazing.
It would indeed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So... you can still get your votes in for Would You Fund It if you head to gkly.co/fundit. Yes. And we'll be announcing who has won for that one towards the end of the show.
We've also tweeted a poll if you fancy voting there.
Yep.
If you prefer.
Head to Twitter as well.
Yep. If you prefer a bit of tweeting, you can get everything through the Twitter interface too. So twitter.com/gklyco, and you will find a tweet somewhere back through our tweets. And you can vote.
Great. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's
I'm just excited to see
works,
the results.
Yeah.
It's been a very baking themed week, really, because we've had the bready Would You Fund It, and of course Terence there was talking about his love for Bake Off, and then we had Andrew on as well, who shared so many great tidbits from the show, but still no further to knowing who smells better out of Mel or Sue.
I know. We will have to leave that mystery for.
What do you think?
Oh, it's so difficult, isn't it? I mean, I've never met either of them.
I think Sue.
Neither of them looks
do you not,
like they smell
I had a,
better.
I have a visceral reaction. I just think Sue smells better.
I really couldn't tell you. I have met Sue Perkins, but I have not... Two things. One, I have not made a point of smelling her. And two, I have not met and or smelled Mel Giedroyc. So I have no means of comparison...
But Sue didn't smell bad, right?
No, I mean, there wasn't a noticeable smell.
No.
She was just... I feel slightly strange talking about this.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I just can't help being a little, you know...
A little
odd.
Weird. Mm. Yes. Yes, that's very true. But keep getting your votes in, and we'll be checking back with the Would You Fund It results in a bit.
We have been playing Winning Words for the first time this week.
How exciting.
And the way that Winning Words works is that at some point during the show, we mention a word that is the winning word.
Indeed it is.
And when you hear that, the second you hear that, or as soon as you hear that, or as soon as you realise you've heard it, you give us a call.
You do.
And the first person to call is the person that... Wins. And this week they are winning whatever is in our Fiver Fun prize, which is the Tetris magnets.
It is.
And also a Geekly merch bundle, which is a Geekly mug and tote bag and other Geekly branded goodies. And so we have our first winner on the line.
Well, we hope they're a winner, but...
Well,
we don't know yet.
We did say the winning word. We just have to make sure they heard it in the right place.
Yes.
Okay, so joining us on the line now is Elaine. Hello, Elaine.
Hello.
So you think you've won the winning word this week?
I hope so.
When did you hear the winning word?
It was when you were talking about loving baking and various body parts you were baking with.
Correct. Yes. That is absolutely correct. Yes, we were talking about kneading bread and the phalange, of course, being a bone in the body.
Yes.
It would ache if you'd done a lot of baking.
It would ache if you'd done a lot of baking. Yeah. Absolutely.
We should clarify the bone is in your hand. Just
correct.
In case anyone... anyone wonders where that bone is.
But thank you very much. And congratulations, Elaine. You got the winning word this week, which was...
phalange.
There we go. Or phalange. And it's, yeah. So a Geekly Prize bundle will be on its way to you.
Thank you very much.
And are you a fan of Bake Off, Elaine?
I am a fan of Bake Off. I've not been keeping up with this year's season, though, unfortunately.
So you've got no opinion on who you think should win?
I think that that razor stands for a good chance, but also I quite like that flipping one, that one from Wolverhampton.
You may be confusing Bake Off with Robot Wars.
Oh, not again.
I mean, I can see how that mistake could be made.
Yeah, last time I went to eat a cake, it did attack me.
That just raises further questions.
It does a little, doesn't it? Yeah.
Hashtag killer crawler.
I see what you did there.
Well,
thank you very much, Elaine, and congratulations. Woo!
Thank you.
Yay.
I was kind of hoping that other people in the studio there would applaud.
Sorry.
So congratulations to our first winning words winner, Elaine.
Yes. Can we help you to a song or a shout-out?
Oh, Elaine has already left the line now. I can bring Elaine back up. Hello, Elaine. Would you like to make a shout-out to anyone?
A shout-out to anyone? I'd like to send a shout-out to the nickname I had for the first hour of the show, to the Rosetta Probe, which almost certainly won't be listening, but on the off chance, well done, you've done a good job. Now just chill.
Oh, lovely. Well, so how is Would You Fund It doing?
Let's have a look, shall we?
So let's have a bit of a... this is it now. We're going to find out the results.
Bum, bum, bum. Yep.
The vote has closed. I have added together the results from the Twitter poll and from the website voting. And I can say with 100% of the vote,
wow,
Astley's Baps has been funded.
Oh. Well, hey! Oh, fantastic.
Woo!
Oh, good work, Catherine.
I've had 100% of before.
No, I don't think you have.
It's impressive stuff.
Very good.
Yep.
Impressive.
I am off to a flying start.
You are.
Series 5, Episode 1 has been my show.
It has been. So very happy about that. Now, all of the content from this show, the interviews, the Would You Fund It, will be up online afterwards. So obviously you can download the show and listen to it. Listen to it from Mixcloud, or you can listen to it via our website. But also up on YouTube, we will have... content coming out of your YouTube ears. So the, like I said, the interviews, Would You Fund It and everything will be up on YouTube after the show for you to listen back to as well. But wow, what a great job, Catherine, on your first Would You Fund It of the series.
Can't believe it.
The bar has been set rather high. Mm-hmm. For other
it
people,
really has.
And now more than ever, I am hungry for Baps. In a burger. Yes. Burger in a bap, rather. An innovative burger sheath, as your Would You Fund It said.
And that's pretty much everything we've got time for this week, I think.
I know. What a great start to the series it's been.
Well, yes.
It's...
Thank you to our wonderful guests, Terence Eden and Andrew Smith, for joining us to talk about tinkering, engineering, and the benefits of measuring one's butter.
Yes, what great interviews. Thank you so much. And thanks also to everyone who sent in requests, tweeted us, and took part in the chat room tonight. There has been a phenomenal amount of action on Twitter, so hello to all of you out there in the world of the tweets and the twos. And
in the world of the tweets and the twos.
Yes, that's Twitter. In a nutshell.
All right.
Tweet to woo, like an owl.
Yes, that's exactly right. And thanks,
okay,
of course, to everyone in our wonderful chat room. You can join in the chat room anytime you like, chat along with the show, and even when the show's not here. So thanks to all of those people there too.
Yes, thank you for getting involved. We'll be back for episode 2 in 2 weeks on the 14th of October with more of all of your favourite features, another £5 thing, and a very special guest.
but without cares.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'll be here in spirit and I'll be joining remotely, but I will also be joining the show live from a beach in Hawaii next week.
Hawaii.
So you cannot say that the Geekly Chronicles does not travel well. Okay, that was a noise, Catherine. Well done.
Interesting sounds that you're making there.
I feel like I personally don't travel particularly well, but the show, on the other hand.
Well, I mean, we have listeners all over the world, and so it's only fair that every now and then one of us pops off to the time zones of our listeners, and so it's only fair that I don my summer wear in October, and take our outside broadcast equipment and sit there with an internet connection, a nice kind of tropical fruit juice, beach and some blue sea and sun, and it's going to be great.
Indeed.
So, from me, Kez.
From me, Chris.
And from me, Catherine. It's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is a Tiny Kettle production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably in error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill. Live long and prosper. Wear sunscreen.